Humans are meaning makers. Throughout human civilization and culture, probably the most common thread that connects humanity across vastly different cultures, geography, and time is this fundamental need to make meaning of all that is truly important. The meaning of life and death, the meaning of our individual places within creation, the meaning of being human. And across all cultures and times, we have found that concrete language just isn't quite sufficient when trying to wrestle with these questions of ultimate truth. It often feels thin and brittle, and we are left with the suspicion that there is much, much more that is left hidden. That is why humans have always relied on mythology to reveal this greater depth of meaning. The word myth now is understood to refer to a story that is made up, that is not true. Oh, that is just a myth, we say. But that is not how human cultures have thought of it throughout time. Rather than being not true or not rational and literally true in a proven and repeatable sense, myths speak to truth that is greater than our ability to describe it. They transcend our rational understanding, and because of this, myths are robust enough to take on the biggest human concerns like love, death, suffering, and God. Myths reveal the great truth that lies behind and underneath what we can capture with our concrete language. Myths come from that same mysterious land as dreams, in that they emerge from the collective unconscious of humanity. As Richard Rohr describes it, our myths are stories or images that are not always true in particular, but entirely true in general. They are usually not historical fact, but invariably they are spiritual genius. They hold life and death, the explainable and the unexplainable, together as one. They hold together the paradoxes that the rational mind cannot process by itself. In this way, myths give deep meaning and pull us into what Rohr calls deep time, which encompasses all time, past and future, geological and cosmological. Renowned mythologist Joseph Campbell often taught of the hero's journey. Repeated in various forms, but with different symbols, Campbell found what he called the monomyth of the hero to be present throughout the world's mythologies. The pattern of the heroic journey is pretty consistent and roughly follows these five stages. First, the heroes live in a world that they take at face value. They may be uncomfortable in this world in some way. They may experience a sense of restlessness. But they assume the world they know to be true and sufficient. They might also be a prince or a princess or of some divine origin which they know nothing about. Second, the heroes then have the call or the courage to leave home for an adventure of some type. They are called to go out and beyond their comfort zone. Often they don't even know what they are to accomplish or why they were called. Third, while on this adventure, they find the problem they are to solve. They are often wounded in some way, physically or emotionally, and encounter a major dilemma. The great realization later is that this wound becomes the key thing that changes them dramatically. Fourth, this task or problem, which the heroes think is the only task, turns out to be only the warm-up to prepare the heroes for the real task. And in this work, they discover their real life, which lies hidden underneath the appearances of their life situation. Like a deep underground river, this real life reveals their true identity, and life sourced here is rich and meaningful, irrespective of the everyday events on the surface of life. Fifth, and most importantly, the heroes then return home. Heroes are sent out, and they journey in foreign lands, and then they must return to where they started. But they return home, transformed people who bring to their communities the blessings of their experience of new life. With this, they are generative people, renewing and healing their communities. Our scriptures are full of heroes and those who embark on the hero's journey, starting with Adam and Eve, Jacob, Joseph, Samuel, David, and so on. We find this journey being played out over and over, being called and sent out. This leaving of home and the familiar is the first sign of the hero's journey. Think of Yahweh's words to Abraham and Sarah. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. God not only calls them from home and the familiar, he sends them out and doesn't even tell them where they're going. Just go. These heroes are sent on their personal journeys and they return home transformed, ready and able to do the work God has given them to do. Our gospel lesson today is a sending story, a hero's journey of sorts. The great narrative pivot in Luke's gospel occurred in last Sunday's lesson. Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem and all that awaits there, betrayal, trial, crucifixion, and death. He informs those who wish to follow him that the journey will be difficult, one relying on God's grace and the hospitality of others. And in today's lesson, Jesus commissioned 70 of his disciples in mission. These apostles are sent ahead of Jesus into the towns to prepare the way for him. Their mission is to preach, teach, and heal, and they are given the same authority as Jesus for these ministries. They are also given the power to extend God's peace. This peace is representative of the kingdom of God, the salvation of shalom, or wholeness and restoration. Now, these apostles had already begun their hero's journey some time back. Little is known of these unnamed 70, but we can presume a few things. They had probably lived in some village or city in Galilee and had ordinary lives in the world they understood. They probably lived with the usual afflictions, sufferings, and surprising but fleeting joys that mark the human condition. Then this mysterious healer, teacher, and wonder worker bursts in on their lives, and they found that they were called to leave their homes, families, and lives behind and to follow him. They are shown a new life, life that they never knew existed, being lived within this Jesus. And now they're being sent out ahead of him to spread his message and mission. Even though Jesus grants them the power and authority to do the work given to them, they must have been a little hesitant to embark on this mission. They must have wondered how in the world they'd be able to heal, cast out demons, and extend God's salvific peace. And Luke doesn't let us follow them and hear the whole story, but we are told that they return successful. Filled with joy, they return to Jesus and his gathered followers to report, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." To their surprise, this generative and powerful abundance of new life found within Jesus was also found deep within themselves. And through this experience, they are given a vision of their true identity as children of God and missionaries of the good news of God in Christ, their true life that lay underneath their life circumstances. Now, lest we get too comfortable here, let me tell you that the hero's journey is not only for those larger-than-life figures found in Scripture, nor is a hero's journey reserved for those few others who speak of them that we speak of nowadays as heroes. Those we hear of doing some great deed, accomplishing something previously thought impossible. The heroes, in fact, are found all around us. We are all the heroes because we are all called and sent out on the journey. For most of us, we are sent multiple times. We are called to the hero's journey that leads to our transformation and the realization of our true and abundant life that flows underneath our life circumstances. That life found within Jesus may also be found within us. That life is the kingdom of God. That life is where we may experience salvation, restoration, and wholeness now, even as we await the age to come. This hero's journey begins with our birth in the world, and it also begins with our birth into the church through our baptism. The church says that through the waters of baptism, we share in Christ's death and his resurrection. It is through these same waters that we begin this great journey into the real and abundant life found in Christ. And when we return home, we will find that we are called to embark on yet another journey, another mission into the unknown, as we are also presented with this heroic question: what are you going to do with your now resurrected life? The harvest is plentiful, and the journeying never ends. Amen.